The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia. Rochester sports leader, 95.7 ESPN.
Always love when we can talk NFL draft and Buffalo Bills with one of our guys, a 585 area code. For Chris Trapasso of CBSSports.com, who joins us now in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. Chris, always gracious with your time. Appreciate you stopping by so much. How you been, bud?
I've been doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Yeah, Chris, seeing that that Anthony Johnson was invited to the Senior Bowl, it reminded me, my gosh, if the Senior Bowl invites are going out, we're almost at draft season with just four games left in the Buffalo Bills season. Appreciate your time today. Before we get to who some of the top prospects for us to keep an eye on here, I would just love to know your opinion on a few guys in the Bills' wide receiving core, guys that the Bills picked up cheap, relatively speaking, namely Robert Foster, Isaiah McKenzie. When they both came out of school, these two players, Chris, what grades did you have on them? What chance do you give them for being long-term solutions for the Buffalo Bills as far as their wide receiving core goes?
Well, starting with Robert Foster, who's been the real big play specialist for the Bills over the last month or so, he almost had an incomplete grade for me because while he was at Alabama, Jalen Hurts was the quarterback, and it's been a total 180 this year with Tua Tagovailoa as the quarterback. But the passing attack for the Crimson Tide was just so limited. He actually had under 25 catches in his senior season at Alabama. But when you did see him catch the ball, and you did see him run down the field, you saw the speed and the quickness that we've seen in his rookie season with the Bills. I actually looked up last week, the number of wide receivers that have gone to the combine that were above 6'1", that were over 190 pounds like Foster is, that ran 4.41 or faster, and had a 3-cone time under that magical 7 seconds like Robert Foster did. Starting in 1999, there aren't too many. There's a lot fewer than you would think. Two or three guys that never really amounted to anything, but some names like Julio Jones, Torrey Smith, Javon Walker, who was good in the mid-2000s. So Foster, I'm not going to say is this once-in-a-generation type receiver in terms of his athleticism, but players as big as him that run as fast as him don't necessarily grow on trees. And then McKenzie was kind of just that get-sweep, reverse, return guy at Georgia who did, in his last season, produce. He didn't really produce a lot in the receiving game his first 3 years with the Bulldogs. But I think he does have a spot as a number four or number five receiver, whatever you want to call it, on your offense. And with what we've seen with how yards after the catch are just so prevalent today, I feel like every team almost needs someone like Isaiah McKenzie. I do think he needs to finish strong to secure himself on the 2019 roster, but certainly Robert Foster is going to be back next year just because of what he can do in terms of stretching the field at almost 6'2".
And Chris, we talk about these wide receivers, and with Kelvin Benjamin gone, it would appear that Zay Jones is your unquestioned number one. I don't know if he's miscast in that role, and you can maybe chime in a little bit on that, but I am curious as to what your thoughts are on who a number two could be in this offense, a legit number two in this offense. It's probably Zay. But, more than that, what are you seeing out of Zay's game here in his second year, the improvements that he's made in his game, and the evolution of Zay Jones in this offense?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting point to just kind of watch what we've seen from him from his rookie season. That was pretty disappointing. He did kind of come on a little bit stronger at the end of last year. And then just his maturation this season, it's not really surprising to me. I actually had him pretty low, relatively speaking, on my receiver rankings in that 2017 draft. It was kind of similar to Robert Foster, although obviously Zay Jones was incredibly productive in college. So much of his production, I feel like I've said this on the show before, was bubble screens and tunnel screens and 1 yard passes and yards after the catch, and that he was such a good athlete at the combine and so productive to catch the ball. I thought it was going to take, and I wrote this, I thought it was going to take him time to really acclimate to running the full route tree that we always hear about, creating separation, making tough catches. He just did not have to do that in college. So I think ideally he's your classic number two receiver. I think Robert Foster, you would probably say he's your number three and kind of a niche downfield guy, whether it be in the draft or in free agency, to get that number one receiver that can move the chains and can be dynamic in the red zone. I think that's what the Bills want to get and will get in the offseason. But it's not surprising to see that Zay Jones, after almost two full seasons in the NFL, is starting to show some of that potential that he showed in college and at the combine.
Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com, our guest here in the Sports Bar. As we look ahead to the 2019 draft, let's assume the Bills are picking top 10. Let's say number 10 overall. Chris, if you're going by the philosophy of best player overall at the time rather than drafting on need, would the signs point to the Buffalo Bills selecting a defensive player in the first round?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it generally with this draft class, I would say yes to that, that this is a defensive and defensive line loaded class. And I think certainly everyone's going to want the Bills, you know, all the Bills fans, media members, that will think that the Bills need to just go all in on the offensive side. And I'm in that kind of school of thought. If Kyle Williams retires, though, and even if he doesn't, they probably need another pass-rushing interior defensive lineman. Darla Tulele is not that guy. Harrison Phillips, I think, is going to be a solid pro. Almost Kyle Williams in terms of how long he can stay in the NFL. But I don't know how much of a pass rusher he will be, at least even into his second season. So there are going to be a lot of really good defensive linemen, even there at number 10, that the Bills could potentially pick. But what also is good for the Bills, if they want to pick wide receiver or pick a right tackle, they could see potentially 7 or 8 guys on the defensive side go before them and have someone like, say, a Jonah Williams from Alabama, who I think is the best offensive lineman in the class, fall to them. So they should be in a relatively good spot because they need wide receivers, they need defensive line, and those are the two most, you know, talented and deepest positions in the 2019 draft.
Chris, Brandon Bean has given us some nuggets as far as how he wants to kind of build this team, if you really pay attention to what he's saying. It sounds like he would like to address need in free agency and then in the draft take the best player that's available. So, you know, that would mean that, yes, what you're describing is exactly what would happen there if the Bills are picking 9th or 10th, that whoever it is, whether it's a wide receiver, an offensive lineman, or a cornerback, that's who the Bills will be selecting, provided they stay at that spot.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think that would be a bad pick if someone like Quinnen Williams from Alabama, or even Ed Oliver, you know, falls to them. Christian Wilkins from Clemson. They could use another defensive tackle. They certainly have gotten pretty good contributions over the past couple weeks from their undrafted free agent, Levi Wallace, who walked on at Alabama and then was starting in a national title game. And I actually thought the third or fourth round, he went undrafted. So they just kind of had a carousel opposite Trey White. I think they want to fortify that corner, or that cornerback number 2 spot. Obviously, you need more than even 2 good corners. They have a good one in Taron Johnson, which should be fine in that slot position next year. But I like that philosophy as well, because you do need depth. There are going to be little nagging injuries here and there, and you want to continue to keep your roster getting younger. So if the best player available at, say, number 10 is a defensive tackle or a corner, I have no problem, especially because of the depth at wide receiver, if the Bills go defense in round 1.
Chris, you've been doing this for many years. Do we overreact, or is there something to when Ed Oliver blows up at his coach on the sideline? Is that something that's going to ding him as far as where he'll go in this draft, or will most scouts just look at it and say, "Now that's just a heat-of-the-moment thing"?
I think it could. I mean, for me, it doesn't really bother me that much. I mean, it was kind of a weird situation that Major Applewhite didn't want him to wear a jacket that was only allowed for active players, and Oliver wasn't active. So it wasn't like something that seemed like Oliver was necessarily in the wrong, so to speak. I think, you know, he was kind of mad that his coach tried to yank the jacket off and was maybe a little miffed about that. I think some teams could be turned off by it, but like we always say, it just takes one team to just fall in love with the prospect. And speaking of the combine, I think Oliver is going to have an amazing combine. It's just going to, you know, shoot him up draft boards any higher than he already is. To me, though, on this, the fact that he returned and played in that final regular season game said a lot to me. I thought he was just going to shut it down, had kind of a mysterious injury. He came back, played in the game. It wasn't his best game of the season, but he did, you know, cause some disruption in the backfield. So to me, any coach is, you know, wondering if he's a team player or whatever. The fact that he came back late in the year, played one final game, shows that he's ready to just be a consummate team guy.
Chris, let's talk about, you mentioned Taron Johnson and his loss for the rest of the season, assuming that he's gone for the rest of the season. What do the Bills do now, and what about some of these names that could be filling in his stead? Ryan Lewis, Denzel Rice, the newly promoted Denzel Rice. What do we know about these prospects that the Bills will be evaluating here the final quarter of the season?
Yeah, I'm really confused about Ryan Lewis because he stepped in early in the season after the Vontae Davis fiasco. They tried to sign him off the Patriots practice squad. Patriots brought him off, and the Patriots released him. They brought him in again. He had a pretty, not spectacular, but a pretty solid career at Pitt. And his pro day, he was very athletic. I don't remember all of his numbers, but I remember seeing a pretty good vertical, a good broad jump, good three-cone time. So he has the athleticism, and I thought he played well against the Green Bay Packers, against the Vikings. He was just thrown onto the field as the number two corner, and I thought he played not spectacularly, but good enough. By the Titans game, he played the first couple snaps of the game and then really hadn't played much since then. I think we will see more from him both in the slot and outside because he is a little bit smaller and he does have that twitchiness. And Denzel Rice strangely intercepted a Patrick Mahomes pass earlier this season while he was with the Browns. Don't know a lot about him. He was undrafted, but he's certainly going to be thrust into a spot where he could be someone like an Isaiah McKenzie, maybe not to the degree of McKenzie, but if he plays well in this final month of the season, he could be on this roster and fight for a starting job next year.
Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com. You will see him for the draft. Last year was in Dallas, across all the platforms of CBS, joining us here. Chris, Tremaine Edmonds. Tremaine Edmonds is interesting to me because you look on the whole, and there's other rookie linebackers, maybe like a Leighton Vander Esch, that are a big part. Now, this Bills defense overall is certainly doing very well. Edmonds has been hurt for a season, so I'll give him a pass here. But overall, what kind of grade would you put on Tremaine Edmonds, Buffalo Bills middle linebacker, here in his rookie season?
Probably around a C plus or a B minus. He's had those flash plays. I mean, he's knocked down 8 or 9 passes. I think he's third in the NFL among all linebackers, not just rookies in that department. And that's just what you get with, his size at 6'5" and his long arms and his athleticism. I think he's gotten a little better as the season has progressed. When he sees a blocker coming at him, he's not as timid as he was even at Virginia Tech and maybe in September and October. I would like to see him get more aggressive and shoot the gaps like you kind of see Matt Milano do. And I do think that comes with time. I have kind of even thought that Edmonds' rookie year has been similar to Milano, where there's been some missteps, a few plays that it looks like he's not reading the offensive lineman, lead blockers. We saw that from Matt Milano last year. Getting that year of experience on him, and even though he has been hurt, Edmonds has played quite a bit. So I think we could see a similar jump that we've seen from Matt Milano from Edmonds next year. At his size, with his change of direction skill, I think he can still be an all-pro type linebacker. And over the past couple weeks, he hasn't really shown up in the stat sheet. When you watch the L-22, he's been outstanding in coverage. And there haven't been too many throws over the middle to running backs, to tight ends like we were in that Chargers game earlier in the year, because Edmonds is just a super freak of an athlete and can run with those skill position players. So I think he's a lot more comfortable in coverage. Against the run, I want to see him get a little more aggressive, defeating blocks, and just shooting those gaps to make those big plays in the backfield.
I'm going to just really quick add this to what you're saying about Edmonds. And Chris, I'm not saying this because I'm down on Edmonds. I think there's so much potential in his game. But you know this because we've had this conversation all through last year's draft season. You know how high I was on Vander Esch, Leighton Vander Esch, making the kind of plays in Dallas that I think a lot of us thought Edmonds would be making this year. And maybe we inflated what Edmonds could be in his rookie year to a point of unrealistic expectations. I guess what I'm asking is, did the Bills make the right choice in taking Edmonds when Vander Esch was there as well and you wouldn't have had to give up as much?
Yeah, I had Edmonds slightly above Vander Esch on my big board, which is just obviously a universal big board. I think it's still too early to say, and the reason why I had Edmonds a little bit higher is because of the coverage ability, and Edmonds has been very efficient as a blitzer. I think Vander Esch just was ahead in terms of keeping off blocks, reading his key to get to the ball carrier. He is a full year older, So I think it's still a little bit too early, but certainly Xander Ash has been the better linebacker in his rookie season. And any Bills fan or anyone out there that thinks the Bills may have made the wrong choice wouldn't be stupid to say that at this point, because Edmund has been probably just one step below Xander Ash in terms of his overall impact on the game.
Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com, our guest who watches a lot of college football, and I'm sure if I ask you about Anthony Johnson, you'd be wide receiver, and Danger and I have debated this, and the tough part is, yeah, we've got a bias here. We see him, we see that he's going to be in the NFL, and I see him as somebody that if he's there in round four, Chris, I'd like to see the Buffalo Bills select him. What do you think of Anthony Johnson, the prospect out of the University of Buffalo?
Yeah, I have him right now, and this will certainly fluctuate with pro days, combines, and, you know, bowl games. I have him, to me, as an end-of-the-first-round pick in terms of just how good I think he will ultimately be in the NFL. Because he's playing in the MAC and didn't have, like Corey Davis had at Western Michigan, 4 years of just crazy production, only had 2 seasons, I do think he's going to go somewhere in the second to fourth round. And to your point, if he's there in the fourth round, the Bills absolutely should jump on him. Because he's not super flashy in any way. He's not, I don't think he's not going to run 4.40. He's not going to jump 40 inches. When you watch his film, he's just a pretty good size, reliable hand. And I think down the field at his size, tracking the football, we saw him and Tyreek Jackson over the past 2 years connect on so many deep balls where either Anthony Johnson was jumping over a corner or just tracking it over his shoulder. To be kind of like Robert Foster, to be that size and to be a deep threat, I think is kind of a rare commodity in the NFL. He's great after the catch in that Temple game earlier in the year. Could break tackles, has good balance. He's just a solid, well-rounded wide receiver. Can he be a number one that has 1,500 yards in the NFL every season? I don't know about that, but I think he can be a borderline number one because there isn't really a clear-cut flaw to his game.
Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Chris, a little bit of the shine on this draft season is going to be worn off, knowing that the Bills aren't going to be in the market, at least early in the draft, for a quarterback, but quarterbacks always get the attention, and I know that there's a few of them that you know, might be coming out early. I'm curious, and I know you wrote about this at CBSSports.com. Talk about some of these quarterbacks that might be entering the NFL draft, perhaps prematurely.
Yeah, the two underclassmen that I think would certainly generate a lot of buzz if they do enter the 2019 draft, Justin Herbert from Oregon. The thought with him being a Eugene, Oregon native, grew up loving Oregon, the thought now is that he will stay in college, but certainly a lot of draft analysts, media members think he could be the first overall pick or a top five pick. I personally don't see that. For as much as I talked up last or this past year's quarterback class, being the deepest that we've seen in almost 15 or 20 years, I kind of think the opposite about this quarterback class. If Herbert regressed this season, his percentage or his completion percentage went down almost 80 points from 2017 to this year. His downfield touch, I didn't really see him, especially the last 2 months of the season, connect on a deep ball. He was just wide. It was underthrown. I mean, he's tall. He's got a live arm. He's athletic. So all those physical traits, I think, will ultimately translate. Not the greatest at reading coverage at this point because he is a little bit inexperienced. And speaking of inexperienced, Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State, he's probably even more of a hotter name in terms of draft buzz right now than Herbert. He shows a lot of franchise quarterback skills. He can read the entire field. He gets through his progressions quickly. Those are two things that usually come way later in a quarterback's even collegiate career or pro career. Can move well in the pocket away from pressure, but so much of his production, if you watch Ohio State, where it, from man-to-man coverage, it was kind of a microcosm in that Michigan game. Short passes against man-to-man coverage, and his athletes did the rest. The game against Penn State, they pressured him. His eyes dropped. His pocket skills were all over the place. So I think both guys are just classic cases. Stay one more season to get better to help your long-term success. If you want to go to the NFL to make money, go for it. They'll probably be first-round picks, but there are some red flags or warning signs because neither Herbert nor Haskins, in my opinion, are finished products right now.
He is the draft writer for CBSSports.com, Chris Trapasso. Chris, tell everyone, what are you working on the website, and where can people read more? Obviously, CBSSports.com, what are some of the things you're working on right now?
Yeah, coming out tomorrow, I'm going to do a position-by-position breakdown of the prospects who have kind of risen up draft boards or have done about the most for their draft stock this season. Dwayne Haskins is certainly one of them. One quarterback, one running back, all the way through the roster. I just did my first top 32 big board. That will continue maybe after the bowl games. I'll get to a top 50 and then watch 100 more prospects or more than that over the next couple months.
Chris, great stuff as always. Look forward to having multiple conversations with you here as we approach draft season, and you know, appreciate all the work you're doing over there at CBSSports.com. It's really fascinating stuff.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Chris Trapasso in the 585, doing great things.